Hello, and welcome to episode number 32 of the Point of Convergence podcast. As always, I am your host, Exoacademian. For those of us intimately familiar with the details of the UFO phenomenon, it has been exciting to see both our elected officials, some of them anyway, and the public at large, some of it anyway, finally beginning to take the entire matter seriously. To us, the notion that the human race is not only not the only true intelligent species in the cosmic neighborhood, but perhaps playing second fiddle to intelligences so advanced that they run circles around both our most state-of-the-art aircraft and seemingly around our very ability to perceive and discern the reality around us, should be the story of the century. Add in the fact that a close and exhaustive reading of our distant human lore suggests that human beings may have been interacting with these intelligences since basically the very beginning of the very beginning, and that perhaps the very meaning models we look to make sense of the world, here I speak of our religious traditions, etc., may have been spawned by these very others. This quickly becomes not just the story of the century, but of all time. Who wouldn't want to delve into the very depths of this subject, investigating every nook and cranny? Well, as I say, while the public and our elected officials have a long way to go in really becoming familiar with the nuanced history of this topic, the conversation has begun, undoubtedly so, largely spurred by revelations that emerged in 2017 and have been rolling out at a fairly steady clip ever since. This past week marks another important milestone in that march towards growing public awareness that one hopes might lead eventually to the disclosure many of us have been waiting for. Here I speak of the publication of the book In Plain Sight, An Investigation into UFOs and Impossible Science, by award-winning veteran investigative Australian journalist Ross Coulthart. In the line of books by American journalists such as Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal, this book seeks to take a nuanced, historically rich discussion about the UFO phenomenon right into the town square of public conversation. While there may have been more books written about UFOs and alien contact than grains of sand on your local beach, this new release by Coulthart is special because it has the opportunity to reach a much more mainstream audience, not the least of which includes Coulthart's professional colleagues in the up until now notoriously dismissive field of journalism. In other words, this book has the potential to take a subject that has been gaining steam over the last few years and elevate it into the stratosphere of public conversation. And that is something to be excited about, to be sure. Furthermore, what gives this book even more teeth, one might say, is that Ross Coulthart has done his homework. He's taken years to carefully, meticulously craft a book that not only accurately depicts UFO events throughout the course of history, including events from his native Australia that many American audiences will have never heard about, but he has done so with a depth of penetrating analysis that makes apparent to even a naive reader just how shocking, preposterous, and disturbing the government treatment and cover-up of this essential topic has been over the course of the last 8 decades or so. Not shying away from delving into even the most controversial but compelling aspects of the history of this topic, including crashed and landed retrievals of apparently alien vehicles and their non-human pilots, Coulthart has put together an exemplary read that has the potential to serve the cause of pushing the rock of confirmation and eventually perhaps disclosure over that proverbial hill. Coulthart himself finishes his book by claiming, "We may seemingly be at the cusp of a public revelation that has the potential to change the world." Ross Coulthart's stellar new book, In Plain Sight, An Investigation into UFOs and Impossible Science, and the shocking events from our shared history it uncovers, are the topic of this, the 32nd episode of the Point of Convergence podcast. As we begin this week's episode, I would just like to say, go and buy this book. It is a compelling read, and we want to support people like Ross Coulthart, investigative journalists coming from the mainstream who are willing to tackle this topic head on in a really serious way. And that's exactly what Ross has done. Many who have touched on this topic in a cursory kind of way from the mainstream previously often gloss over it. They don't really pick up on the implications. One has to really dig deep and read between the lines because, again, the government has not been forthcoming historically about its knowledge and involvement with this topic. One really does have to dig. Ross has done that. He's used his seasoned understanding of how to really dig deep when you're trying to uncover truth that is buried deliberately by governments, and he's come up with some amazing details. This is all in his book, In Plain Sight. Excellent book. Go and buy it. Coulthard, coming from mainstream journalism, is in a unique position to see how this topic has been viewed historically, both in the public and in domains such as academia and journalism. He acknowledges he has seen time and time again that this topic is the great taboo. He writes, quote, "Polls show more than 2/3 of Americans believe the U.S. government knows more than it is letting on about the phenomenon, although to be sure, that does not make their belief true. An enormous number of people believe there is a vast conspiracy at the highest levels of the U.S. military-industrial complex concealing recovered extraterrestrial craft and perhaps even the existence of aliens. I suspect scientists' reluctance to intellectually engage with the phenomenon and their quick dismissal of any incidents without serious investigation, accompanied by ridicule and mockery, is actually encouraging this conspiratorial thinking. In mainstream journalism, the dominant view has always been, and generally continues to be, that such notions of dark conspiracies are batshit crazy. And heaven help you if you transgress from that position." Unquote. For many Americans, as well as non-Americans, used to seeing this topic covered through the lens of American history, it can be revelatory to see just how much these events have been happening historically right around the world. Coulthard gives many of us a new glimpse into events that were happening, for instance, in Australia, just prior to and sometimes contemporaneous to famous events happening in the United States. From his book, I quote again, quote, "Strange objects were also being seen in the Southern Hemisphere. In February 1947, there were three independent and well-verified sightings of a formation of five egg-shaped wingless and tailless craft flying over Southern Australia, which defied official explanation. A farmer on South Australia's Aree Peninsula reported seeing five strange oblong-shaped objects with narrow points coming up out of the sea with a smoky grayish color around them. I saw them quite plainly, a Mr. Flavel told the Adelaide Advertiser newspaper. They seemed to be floating in the air from northwest to southeast and caused a shadow. His account corroborated another made earlier by workmen at Port Augusta, 260 kilometers northeast, who also reported seeing five white egg-shaped objects flying in formation from north to south." Unquote. And now jumping to a later section of the same part of the book, quote, "The third sighting of a formation of five weird, high-speed, egg-shaped UAPs came 2 months later, 1,000 kilometers east in New South Wales. A Gogoldri farmer working on his rice harvest looked up to also see five metal bodies flying in V formation with the sun glistening on them. The farmer, a Mr. Nettlebeck, reportedly estimated the speed at about 1,000 miles an hour. A curious coincidence indeed that three separate sets of witnesses independently saw a similar formation of five high-speed egg-shaped objects in different locations over 1,200 kilometers apart across southern Australia. These events also all happened just before a sighting event in New Mexico, USA, that for many is the origin myth of the great modern extraterrestrial conspiracy theory, Roswell." Unquote. Speaking of Roswell, Coulthard points out that part of what has only served to feed, not put out the fire of controversy around what really happened there, is the fact that the U.S. government continues to change its account of what happened. Now, I don't want to get too far into the weeds of the Roswell event because that can be an entire podcast episode on its own, and in fact will be in the coming weeks. But I would like to recount here what Coulthard has to say. Quote, The strangest irony of the Roswell affair is that the U.S. military's clumsy response did much to encourage the perception in the minds of a substantial portion of the American public that there was indeed some kind of cover-up. This is because the U.S. Air Force has given four different explanations for what supposedly happened at Roswell in 1947. Officials definitely lied and covered up. The big question is, why? Unquote. Thus begins the astounding historical trend where the U.S. government did its damnedest to downplay and dismiss the UFO phenomenon while it simultaneously and covertly continued to ramp up its intense interest and study of it. Quoting from the book again, quote, "So began a curious practice that continued for decades, whereby the U.S. Air Force publicly and aggressively debunked all UAP sightings, but inside America's military and intelligence services, the issue was actually being taken very seriously. In late 1949, the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, investigating green fireballs seen over military sites, confidentially reported that the continued occurrence of unexplained phenomena of this nature in the vicinity of sensitive installations is cause for concern. Sightings reports kept on flooding into the military, especially after Marine Corps veteran Donald Kehoe published his dramatic article, Flying Saucers Are Real, in the popular men's magazine, True, in late 1949. In his best-selling book of the same name, he claimed the U.S. Air Force knew that the mystery objects were extraterrestrial, but that it was playing down reports to avoid a public panic. In an apparent attempt to quell public interest, the Air Force's first Project Grudge report was published soon after, announcing that it would stop investigating unidentified flying objects and asserting that all such sightings were the result of mass hysteria, hoaxes, or the misinterpretation of conventional objects. Project Grudge was ostensibly still seriously investigating UFOs, but as Project Insider Edward Ruppelt later asserted, there was a widespread view that Project Grudge was operating under a directive to debunk all sightings, unquote. As I mentioned earlier, while again, much of the literature on the history of the UFO phenomenon tends to focus on what has happened in the United States, Coulthart reminds us that this was, and of course continues to be, a worldwide phenomenon. Quoting from his book again, quote, "While the U.S. Air Force's Project Blue Book investigation was still ramping up, UAPs were unhelpfully frustrating official efforts to suppress interest in them by regularly showing up over sensitive defense sites or buzzing civilian aircraft in other parts of the world. Behind the Iron Curtain, the subject of UFOs had initially been greeted with derision. The Kremlin's tactic was to publicly debunk all such sightings. However, Soviet pilots were also seeing strange things, although their reports were being suppressed. In 1955, on a visit to the Soviet Union, the United States Senator Richard Russell, the head of the powerful Armed Services Committee, looked out of his train window in the Transcaucasus region to see a disc-shaped object slowly ascending vertically, with its outer surface revolving slowly and with two lights visible on the top. It sped off when it hit about 6,000 feet. As Russell and his staffer watched, 1 minute later, another craft made the same maneuver. Panicked Soviet staff on the train reportedly shut the curtains across the train window and told the senator and his colleagues not to look outside again." Unquote. One aspect of Coulthart's journalism that I really appreciate and respect is that he is actually suspicious of mass conspiracy stories. He knows by experience that actually people don't hold secrets for very long, especially large groups of people. Now, speaking of conspiracies, though, one of the questions that arises for many people when they consider a possible long-term conspiracy of cover-up within the U.S. and other governments is how would that kind of secret possibly be kept wrapped up? Wouldn't, say, an elected official like a president, the supposed leader of American government, when briefed on such matters, decide enough is enough, let's take this truth to the people? Well, alas, it's not that simple. What we find is a siloing of information. We're talking about the strictest form of compartmentalization, where very, very few people are even made aware of the existence of such programs. Indeed, Coulthard recounts one historical occurrence when incoming President Jimmy Carter, famous, of course, partly for having had his own personal UFO sighting, sought to learn more about the government and what it actually knew. Quoting from the book again, quote, "According to celebrated civil rights attorney Daniel Sheehan, before Carter's January inauguration, he sought a meeting with the then director of the CIA, George Herbert Walker Bush, later the 41st president, but the CIA director flatly refused to give the president-elect a briefing on UFOs, telling Carter he had no need to know. Bush's term as CIA director ended just before the inauguration in January 1977. Bush suggested the incoming president instead seek a briefing through the Congressional Research Service. Once in office, President Carter pressed the issue, and the Congressional Research Services Specialist on Space and Aerospace, Marcia Smith, was tasked to investigate." Unquote. Needless to say, President Carter never apparently learned what he was looking to find out. Now, for the sake of time again, I'd like to move forward both in history and further into the book. Enter Tom DeLonge and TTSA. Now, what Coulthard has to say here as an outsider observing this entire scenario with the background of a seasoned journalist, long schooled in the way that both politicians and military officials tend to handle, i.e. spin, public affairs to paint a prettier and even sympathetic picture of themselves. In other words, what I really appreciate about Coulthard is, unlike many of us, he can see this objectively. He is not a TTSA fanboy, so to speak. He looks at it from the lens of history as an investigative journalist. These are some of Coulthard's comments about Tom DeLonge and TTSA. Quote, "Rockstar Tom DeLonge has given a series of strange, rambling media interviews about his secret meetings about UAPs with government and corporate officials. Perhaps the wackiest one was the one he recorded with podcast host, comedian, and mixed martial artist commentator Joe Rogan. DeLonge told Rogan on the Joe Rogan Experience that he was given the green light by his defense and intelligence Black World mentors to spread the word about an imminent U.S. government disclosure of amazing UFO secrets. He also claimed he was schooled by them on how not to reveal too much of what he now knew. He claimed his military sources even did a mock Newsweek magazine interview with him so that they could analyze his answers and rehearse him before he gave a real interview. It is instructive to get across the detail of what Tom DeLonge said in his 100-minute duration Joe Rogan interview and a four-hour George Knapp interview because, frankly, if any of what he says he was told is true, the implications are huge. I know a lot of you will think DeLonge sounds crazy, but as you will see, I believe there is strong evidence that certain former and serving senior officials of the U.S. government and military definitely met with and briefed Tom DeLonge. The issue to be debated is whether what he claims they told him was in any way true. DeLonge claims he was told by these senior officials that the U.S. government had indeed secretly retrieved alien spacecraft and aliens, that there is a secret struggle underway to master the technology and to protect humanity from an imminent threat. I am in no doubt whatsoever that whether true or not, these briefings happened. I have to admit, I still find it extraordinary that former and serving military officials decided to brief DeLonge, but maybe they thought what he might say would sound so batshit crazy that if he went public with it, no one would believe him anyway." Unquote. Now, at this point, I'd like to interject my own opinion about DeLonge. Truthfully, even back when TTSA was making headlines, I always thought DeLonge's involvement was strange. I thought that he was a strange person to head TTSA. I understand his money was a large reason why, but still, he was a strange choice there. And even more so, he seemed a very strange choice for a U.S. government that supposedly wanted to finally come clean about its knowledge and involvement with recovered UFOs, and apparently even alien beings. The reason why I found this a stretch is because DeLong, it's not that he's not intelligent. He is an intelligent guy. He's a thoughtful guy. He seemed to have decades of knowledge of this particular topic, but he's remarkably careless in the things he says. If you wanted to handle this carefully, which you would assume these people would want to do, people on the inside, then you would choose someone with a public relations background, someone who meticulously chooses every word they speak or tweet. This is clearly not who Tom DeLong is. Now, like Coulthard, I have no doubt that these meetings happened, meetings between Tom DeLong and high-ranking military officials. Of course, historically, Russian hackers hacked into John Podesta's emails and spilled these to the world. And here we see confirmation of communication between DeLong, Podesta, and high-ranking military officials. So we know these meetings happen. The question has always been, what was the true purpose of these meetings? I've never bought the idea that these officials were encouraged because Tom DeLong had a unique opportunity and voice amongst younger people. That never really jived with me. So what was the true purpose? Now, Ross Coulthard has his own interesting theory as to why these officials may have suddenly seen Tom DeLong as an opportune escape route based on what was happening historically at the time. And it has a lot to do with both Hillary Clinton and especially John Podesta's known desire to get this secret out to the public. Quoting from the book, quote, "Throughout 2015 and 2016, the media becomes increasingly sure in its reporting that Hillary Clinton is a cert for the presidency, that Donald Trump does not have a chance. As a gatekeeper, you are now getting very nervous that come February 2017, post-inauguration, it might be you who is hauled in chains before a congressional inquiry to explain why you hid the big secret." Then imagine, along comes Tom DeLong. He must seem like a gift. With a wink and a nod, he lets you know that he knows what you know. It is a huge relief to be able to share your guilty 70-plus year secret with DeLong. Even better, he is offering you a way to let the public know about it that makes the entire military-industrial complex cover-up sound like a bed of roses. Why? DeLong even suggests he can make young millennials actually like you. He also reassures you that he understands all this national security stuff and that he will seek your permission and get your approval for what he is allowed to say about what you all knew about the big secret. You will get to control the disclosure narrative. Hell yeah, this is our sort of guy, you think. Unquote. Now, as we all know, history continues to roll on, and soon Tom DeLong and TTSA announce they have metamaterials and that they are cooperating with the U.S. military to apparently develop reverse-engineered craft. Now, being the veteran investigative journalist that Ross Coulthard is, again, with a long-storied career that involves seeing how politicians and military officials spun events to present their own actions in a rosier light, Coulthard can't help but connect dots here, answering this intriguing question about why this partnership would exist with his own provocative answer. Quote, "Why would a UAP disclosure activist organization cooperate with the U.S. military it has openly suggested is hiding these breakthrough technologies? I suspect the real agenda behind the deal with the military is that the CRADA will finally allow the military to share at least some of what it has known about metamaterials all along." Unquote. Now, one question Coulthard repeatedly pursues in this book is whether or not the U.S. government or some rogue element that has broken off from it has actually recovered downed UFOs. The reason why he pursues this question so doggedly is not just because it keeps popping up again and again in the literature and the historical record, but because Coulthard, being very familiar with the taboo nature of this topic amongst the general public, knows that if proven true, this fact would become the proverbial golden goose, the game changer, the discovery that forces the public and our elected officials to face up to a revelation that certainly should change our entire understanding of reality. It would, once and for all, make what should be the story of the millennium, and really of all time, headline news everywhere. Now, as we all know, Luis Elizondo goes on to say to Tucker Carlson on national TV that it is his opinion, his informed opinion, that yes, the U.S. government does have recovered alien craft. Elizondo said the U.S. holds alien technology, period. Now, this is what Coulthard says about this revelation. Quote, "This is big news, but there was no media apart from researcher James Iandoli's Twitter feed engaging the phenomenon. Iandoli asked former Bigelow National Institute of Discovery Science, NIDS, scientist Dr. Eric Davis his views about Elizondo's claim of recovered extraterrestrial debris. Davis sent this intriguingly mischievous reply, quote, Luis Elizondo's very brief answer to Tucker Carlson's question about whether the U.S. government is in possession of recovered, crashed, and landed UFO technology hardware is 1,000% accurate. My national security NDAs prevent me from adding any further comment on this," unquote. Now, parenthetically, I would just like to add that James Iandoli is a good friend of mine, and it's always good to see good friends who are doing great work get recognized like James is in this book. Now, let's move forward again for the sake of time. Now, in the final chapters of the book, Ross Coulthard continues to doggedly pursue this question about whether or not the U.S. government has indeed recovered alien technology, craft, even intact and landed craft, using that quote from Eric Davis again. Coulthard goes on to discuss the famous Admiral Wilson documents. This is all about what happened when, after Edgar Mitchell passed, documents were released from his estate, and one of those documents purportedly talked about a meeting between Eric Davis and Admiral Tom Wilson, where Wilson famously talks about, even though he had a high position where he should have been able to uncover any kind of black ops operation and learn about it, when he pursued this question of trying to uncover a supposed alien retrieval kind of black ops that was now interested in reverse engineering these craft, he was stonewalled. He was even told his career would hit a dead end if he continued to pursue it. Now, Coulthard also goes on to discuss and investigate a series of strange and controversial patents that were filed shortly afterwards that seemed to discuss a technology that should not even exist, a technology that purportedly could propel something like a Tic Tac. Now, for those who believe there actually is a functional program that has successfully reverse engineered alien technology, this patent makes perfect sense. Now, Coulthard leaves open the question about whether or not these patents are real and whether or not they actually are indicative of something like the Tic Tac. But quoting from the book again, quote, "A field generator can create a polarized energy field that creates a quantum vacuum around the craft, which allows it to reduce mass. This enables it to repel any air or water molecules and supposedly also makes possible faster than light travel. It also means that any occupant does not feel aerodynamic or hydrodynamic forces, which would explain why they are not mashed up into soup by the extreme G-forces any such craft would indubitably inflict," unquote. Now, just to be absolutely clear, some of these patents were awarded. In other words, the U.S. Patent Office said, okay, this technology has been demonstrated to exist to a degree which we are willing to grant this patent, which in itself is surprising and hard to understand because this technology purportedly doesn't even exist yet. So how is this really demonstrated? Very confusing, and it makes you wonder what is really going on behind the scenes. Now again, the reason why Coulthard is pursuing this series of questions so doggedly is because he knows if it can be proven that this kind of reverse engineered program does exist, and even more significantly, if it has been successful, then this will change the world. This will force his journalistic colleagues, politicians, and the general public everywhere to pay attention. And now, in conclusion, I'd like to share some of Ross Coulthart's final words. Quote, "So what do I know for sure after 2 years down the rabbit hole? I have no doubt at all that the U.S. government is hiding extraordinary secrets about the phenomenon. The categorical statements made by defense and intelligence insiders Dr. Eric Davis and Luis Elizondo, and the more qualified assertions by Christopher Mellon and former Senator Harry Reid suggest that the United States has indeed recovered non-human, intelligently manufactured technology, a conclusion that makes my head spin," unquote. And following this, Coulthart says this, quote, "I venture the U.S. has been wrestling for years with how to break this shocking news to the public, not least because it has flatly lied to its citizens for 75 years and criminally prosecuted those who threatened the big secret. Too many insiders have dropped too many hints for me not to think that there is a reckoning coming. I suspect the quest to unravel one of humanity's greatest mysteries will very soon have the beginnings of an answer," unquote. And on that note, we've come to the close of another edition of the Point of Convergence podcast. As I said at the outset, let's support Ross Coulthart's work. Let's go buy this book and share it with our friends, our family, our colleagues, etc. Because of the nature of this book, its dogged determinism to get at the truth, and because it's written by a well-respected investigative journalist from the mainstream, it has the opportunity to take this conversation to an entirely new level. But until next time, friends, from deep within the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, this is Exoacademian signing out.